Yeah. Welcome to Good Muslim, Bad Muslim. Thank you, everyone. We're two Muslim women making a bunch of people uncomfortable and laughing about it. This episode is sponsored by Dropbox and the Dropbox Podcast Studio at South by Southwest 2016. Give it up. Woo-hoo. Thank you, Judith Williams, Global Head of Diversity, for putting this together and for that awesome intro. We are so excited to be here, and we have a pretty awesome show for you. Yeah? We have fatwas, creeping Sharia. We have an auntie stare down contest. We're going to kick off the Persian New Year with fire jumping and Rumi. Yeah, you didn't expect that, did you? Some Muslims talking about fire jumping. What's happening?
So I'm so excited to be here at South by Southwest. I've always wanted to be here. I've never had the opportunity to be here. It seems like we might have some new faces in our audience. So I just wanted to give a quick little synopsis of who is Good Muslim, Bad Muslim. How many of you have heard our podcast before? Let's just get a raise of hands. All right. So for folks who don't know who we are Zara and Tez, and we are two Muslim women that like to break down what it means. I think we've been getting this a little bit on this trip. We get asked, what does it mean to be who's the good Muslim and who's the bad Muslim? And it's like, we're both bad, we're both good. We're really trying to break down that stereotype that people have of Muslim women in general and just, you know, be ourselves. And apparently that's really political. Go figure.
Also, it's a trick question. We're all bad.
What? Yeah. Zara, you've had a really exciting month. What's been going on?
I was just on staff judgment.
Oh my gosh. Glenn Washington was here yesterday. He is amazing.
Yeah, and speaking of people in community, W. Kamau Bell was just here this morning, Kevin Avery. I did comedy with them back in San Francisco. Yeah. Kamau's my director, my mentor. And I opened for Prince with Snap Judgment.
Well, I mean, you performed the night before Prince.
That's opening, right? At the Paramount Theater, 3,000 people. It was awesome.
That's so cool.
I did not want to leave that stage.
So folks can listen to, I think that we'll have the audio for that in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be about 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It'll be up. And then I expect to be pretty famous. Maybe something like 6 million shares.
Yeah.
Just, yeah.
Yeah, I like how Zara does math.
Just round up a lot. How about you? You've had a really busy month.
I have had a busy month. I feel like I've been on a microphone like every other day this past month. Most exciting was I have a book that just came out called M Dash and Ellipses, a poetry book. It's here. I'm holding it up for our audience members. It's poetry, and because of this book, I've been doing a lot of poetry feature performances.
And you were also featured in 31 Days of Feminism as a feminist to spotlight.
Yeah, NBC was doing a really great thing this month. This Happy Women's Month, right? It's Happy International Women's Month. NBC was doing this great thing where they were featuring women of color on their site for International Women's Month. So I was on there. I was March 8th was my day.
This month, I just want to put out there that I just noticed that it's been International Women's Month, and I'm a feminist Muslim Iranian-American comedian, and I just want to put out there, I haven't been on a list yet.
You're number one on my list.
Hey, Taz. What's going on?
Well, speaking of Liz, who is on your list? Who's like a female role model that you look up to?
Actually, you know, when we put that, we were going to talk about our role models for Women's Month. I have so many, and I'm kind of proud of the fact that there are so many women I look up to that it's hard to list them.
Absolutely.
And so I decided, actually, this time I'm going to list and thank the women who are closest to me, who have really meant a lot to me. My director, Lisa Marie Rollins, she's director of my show. I have a show called All Atheists Are Muslim. Check it out. It's about me moving in with my atheist whitey white infidel man and telling my Iranian Muslim parents about it. My office mate Susan Ito at the San Francisco Writers Grotto, she's always inspiring me. And my another woman I look up to a lot, who is like my go-to for how to be Persian and involved in intersectional politics, is Suzanne Pari. So those are the women I wanted to give my shout out to.
Awesome.
And also Taz Ahmed.
Oh my gosh, who's that?
So
thanks.
Who's on your list, Taz?
I had to come up with this list for this article. So if you check out the link, you can see it. On the top of my list is Vandana Shiva. She like really inspired me to be an environmental activist when I was much younger. Now I'm really a huge fan of Linda Sarsour. She's really like doing some cutting edge work as a Muslim activist. The other thing I just threw a show. I have a music blog called Mishti Music. And we had a dance party in Los Angeles on Friday, and it was an all female lineup. So I was proud of that, but like just really inspired by women that make music. I guess it's fitting being at South by Southwest. So, you know, DJ Anjali, DJ Maila, Melinder, check it out. It's on Mishti Music. So I just like women that are like really breaking barriers. South Asian women that are breaking barriers are really high on my list.
Oh, you know who else I wanted to give a shout out to is my girl Jenny Yang.
Yeah, Jenny Yang.
She has been my guiding light this year. She's a comedian and activist as well.
She's my friend first. I just want to put that out there.
Taz's friend first. So quickly stolen. We should mention where we're at. We are at the Lesser Pearl.
Yeah.
In Austin.
And it's daytime right now. This is our first daytime show. We usually do nighttime shows. So
yeah, comedians in the daytime. I don't know. And who here was partying hard last night and like woke up an hour ago? That guy in the back just went. This guy just did like the like comb hand, and then I'm just combing my hair back. Just hot. Muslims in Texas. How about that?
Speaking of Muslims in Texas, first hot topic that we want to talk about is Ibtihaj Muhammad. So have all y'all been following this narrative?
All right. So Ibtihaj Muhammad, she is an Olympian fencer, and she wears hijab. And she came to South by Southwest on the first day, and they asked her to this one dude.
Yeah, we can make the assumption, right, that he's a bro dude?
He's a bro dude. He sounded like a bro dude. Bro dude was just like, you got to take that off so you can take your picture, because I have to verify your identification. And then after I verify your identification and make sure you're you, I'm going to give you the wrong name.
Yeah.
What?
So this happened a few days ago. And it's so ridiculous because legally you can't ask anyone to take their hijab off, you know, driver's license, any form of like government space. So why is South by Southwest special like that? You know, like that doesn't
make
any sense.
Because bro dude decided.
Right. So bro dude got taken off that task and got demoted. But I think he was a volunteer too. So that was just ridiculous. And she's so amazing. She was on Ellen last night, and she was fencing, and she was just super charismatic. She started fencing because it was like the one sport she could do where she could be completely covered up, and her mom was cool with it. And she says it's so funny on the show. So we'll have a link to that on our site.
I wonder if like when she came to South by Southwest and then that bro dude was like being bro dude, if she was like, the one day I didn't bring my sword. Have some gall to like go up to a fencer,
yeah,
and be like, excuse me, I am a volunteer at South by Southwest. And I would like to challenge your religion on behalf of the state of Texas.
In a duel.
That would have been awesome if they just threw down. If she was like, oh, if it was like a, what is it, Princess Bride moment. She was like, I will take off my hijab, sir, if you will match me in a duel. And then they just like had it out, and then he ate poison, and then like she was like, I'm immune to the poison, ha ha ha. And then continue the rest of the plot of Princess Bride.
I think we have our next movie script, which is our running theme here.
Yeah, we've got a rom-com in the works, so anybody at South by Southwest interested in optioning?
Yeah. Right here. Come to us.
I'm just interested in making money. I'm Persian.
I'm gonna switch the topic to something a little bit more serious. There's been a few terrible events going on in our community. I think maybe because of Trump. Trump's maybe. Trump's been inciting a lot of violence in America. One of the things that happened actually really close to my home is the stabbing of two teenage boys in Huntington Beach. I mean, this beach is like a place where I grew up. I grew up going to Huntington Beach and doing bonfires there. So it's really, it was super close to home for me. And these teenage 17-year-olds were speaking Arabic and just hanging out, and they got stabbed by three guys while they were walking around. So these guys got stabbed. In Milwaukee, there was a case where these three Puerto Ricans were shot execution style for speaking another language, which was the shooter was quoted in saying. There was a shooting also.
He actually, that was his reason?
Yeah.
He gave that as his official reason.
He gave that as a reason. He's like,
wow.
Yeah. You're speaking another language. I'm going to kill you. Which is apparently what happens in 2016, which is frightening. Absolutely frightening. And then there was a shooting in, this was in Indiana, where three black men were shot. Two of them were Muslim, one of them wasn't. And there is a campaign around that called Our Three Brothers. So it's just because of what's happening. I was debating with a friend about this, about, you know, are we just seeing it more because how it's affecting the community? And because she was making the argument that violence has always been happening in people of color community. But I feel very strongly that Trump is inciting a lot of this and rallying hatred in this very terrible way to make haters empowered.
Yeah, and I want to say this. Trump is not having rallies. He is inciting a lynch mob.
Yes, absolutely.
When you look at historically how lynch mobs were incited in the South, he is using the same rhetoric. He's using the same tactics. And he's not being checked on it, except for by the activist community. And he's a presidential candidate.
And what's also terrible is how these other Republican candidates are saying he's terrible. But if he gets chosen for the Republican nomination, they're going to support him. So it's their moral ground. There's no moral ground.
I mean, and I don't understand how it's getting by everybody.
Yeah.
Like Cokie Roberts was just, I just saw a clip of her flash by my Facebook feed where she was like, I'm going to ask this hard question of Donald Trump. And then he just dodged the question. And she was like, wait a minute, sir, you dodged my question? And it was like, have you watched the news lately?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I learned about how to deal with this guy in high school during speech and debate. Any speech and debaters in here? Hey! Including hand up, combing hair back guy. BFF forever. I just can't believe that like these really obvious fallacies and tactics are just getting by everybody and they're dealing with it like straight men.
Yeah.
And I mean straight men in the comedic sense, not like they're not the heteronormative.
So Bay Area, you say that.
Bay Area love.
And one last thing I just want to throw out there is I work for 18 Million Rising, and we'll be doing a hangout about around the Suresh Bhai Patel case, which is another incident that happened where this policeman in Alabama, I think it's Huntsville, Alabama, beat up this older South Asian man, and his case was thrown out. It went through to trial twice, and his case was thrown out. So we're going to have a conversation, a Google Hangout conversation about what to do next. And I think that's like one of the things that we have to do. Like as these incidences are happening, we have to figure out how do we organize, how do we push back, and how do we shift the narrative on what's happening.
Yeah, I think we need like a Tumblr where we can just like keep all of these, like catalog all of these.
Oh my gosh, I mean, it's just Google. It's just constant. And I mean, Tumblr's obviously documenting all of it. There's just so much happening that I don't think that it's just about documenting. I think it's about taking the incidences and just like shifting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because sometimes we just come to moments where we just both agree. And there's nothing that does. Yes, that is correct. We need to document these and not ignore them and be like, what's happening with Donald Trump? I don't get it.
Yeah. And that's like the mainstream narrative is that people are just like, oh, it's so surprising that Trump is. It's not surprising. The way the Republican Party has set up hate and fear mongering in this country, like set up the perfect platform for Trump to exist. Because of what has been happening, that's why Trump is happening. Thanks.
So in our anniversary episode, we were in Michigan. We were live in Michigan, and Taz surprised me with a surprise gift for our anniversary. Give it up for our anniversary
Ridiculous. Zara will do anything for an applause.
Give it up for applauses. Give it up for Michigan. Okay, Michigan representing. Yeah, Michigan needs a lot of love right now. So yeah, let's give it up for Michigan. Okay, so Taz surprised me with this gift, which as a Persian, and it's also Persian New Year. Okay, so like, and Persian New Year is like, I don't know if you guys know this, our traditional music is house music. Kesha is a favorite.
Poor Kesha.
We love our Kesha.
Yeah.
Kesha is so Persian. And Taz is a really good gift giver, and you can't be a Persian woman who just receives a gift. You have to like give 700 disclaimers. Like, you know, I would die for you. I would build a tomb in your name and in your children's name and in your children's children's names and set up money for their college funds.
If you go to our website, you can see what I got her. I got her a magic genie lamp from Dearborn. So that we have a picture of that on our site.
And it's been granting all my wishes. So I really struggled with what to get you. And then I thought because it's Persian New Year and because we're at South by Southwest, I would get you something from, we were hanging out last night and this beautiful man came up to Taz and was talking to her. And there was like clarinet playing in the background. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be a good wingman and like let her have her moment. And there was a gift that he wanted to give her that she wasn't able to take, so I brought it. It's just a bag of cocaine.
Thanks, Zara. It's great. Awesome. Just put it there. So Zara was like, what was he, did he want to hang out? I was like, yeah, he wanted to hang out with me and Molly and Coke. That's what he was asking, Zara. She's like, wow, dating's really hard. I was like, yeah, it is. When you think guys are hitting on you and they're just trying to sell you Molly, yes, it is hard.
Oh my God, so complicated. Is it drugs? Is it a pickup line? I can't, is it both?
So what did you do for Persian New Year? Like, what do you do? Because we don't have this in Bangladeshi, because it's Persian.
It's Persian.
Right, yeah.
I'm really excited to be able to talk about this because I get approached by Persians all the time. How come you don't talk about Zoroastrianism? I'm like, well, because I'm Muslim and not Zoroastrian. But like Zoroastrian is like the pagan religion. It's not really pagan because this fire gods, but it was the original religion of Iranians, and it is like a cultural heritage thing. And there's another thing that Persians always like to bring up when I do shows is like, I really liked your comedy, but could you throw some Rumi in it? And
she's holding up a book of Rumi.
I have a book of Rumi poetry right now to celebrate the Persian New Year properly. We got the cocaine, we got the house music, we got Rumi. And so we have a special for this.
Wait, before we get into the special, how do you celebrate Persian New Year?
Okay. So tonight in Austin, there's fire jumping. So a fortnight before the Persian New Year, you leap over fire and everybody
What kind of fire though? Like, can I just like light a lighter and have you jump over my lighter?
Like that's the desperate fire jump that you do. if you're like, I can't find fire and you like can't like Boy Scout it. Like with flint rocks.
But I mean, what does it represent? Is it like, do I get to make a wish, or what's going on in that?
It's a call. For one thing, it's a callback to the Zoroastrian roots of the fire gods, and it's also a cleansing of your sort of, I don't know, of the year and getting ready for the next year. You sort of singe off all of the bad jinn, all the bad demons, all the bad. Like and all the pallor, and you say as you leap over the fire, I give you my yellow, you give me your red.
What does that mean?
And basically what it means is, I give you my pallor, you give me your passion.
Wow.
And it's pretty awesome, right? And you leap over fire 6 times. That's what we do. And to house music. That's for real. And we need DJ Reka here to like bust that out. And then you repeat that over and over again. And like, I just can't start the year without having done it.
Do you think if we start a fire tonight and we start jumping over it, that like as Muslims we'll get like jihaded by like local Texans? They'll be like, no, these Muslim girls cannot do this.
Does it work in that scenario if I just say I jihaded you first? Can I pull that out in the playground? Is that? I mean, it's playground rules out here. It was tough to like get you a gift because first I wanted...
Thanks for the cocaine.
You're welcome.
For our listeners, she gave me a Ziploc bag of cocaine, I guess.
AKA baking soda. Like, I can't... Sorry, guys. Live audience, I can't cut that for you after the show. Or maybe I can. I don't know how you roll. Like, I don't...
So because we were talking about how Zara keeps getting asked about Rumi, we were like, let's do a Rumi's Comedy Corner and we'll make this a new segment. So every episode...
You guys don't understand. Like, it doesn't matter what Persian event you do. Like, it could be a book reading, like a contemporary fiction book. And it'll be like, I really liked your contemporary fiction romance. Could you also add some Rumi next time? I really loved your concert. Could you add some Rumi next time? Like some Rumi with that. Can I get a side of Rumi with that?
I have a joke. Let me see if I remember it. Why did Rumi cross the road?
Why?
To get enlightened to see what was on the other side. Get it? Enlightenment? Come on.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Rumi.
Rumi who?
I mentioned Rumi. Are we cool now?
I don't, do we have any Persians in the audience? Are we cool? Yeah? Are we good? Is this fine?
Are we good? One.
Yeah?
One representative. Right. We're good. We're good on the room. Like, we got our Rumi.
We got someone in the audience said we were cool, so we're cool.
Rumi is also, like, world's most famous poet, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, thanks to a white man named Coleman Barks.
Thank God for the white man.
Thank God. What would we do without them?
What would we do?
But translating us into their native tongue for calendars and coasters and mugs everywhere. Where would we be?
All right, so let's do Election Watch.
We have seen a war on faith.
Is there a Muslim problem in the world?
Absolutely.
I would not advocate that we put a Muslim in charge of this nation.
All right, so first thing on Election Watch, I want to talk about how the protesters in Chicago got Trump not to talk. And I thought that was so awesome, so awesome. We've been watching Trump go around and do all these protests, and sometimes you'll see like one person of color go, and then they get yelled at by a bunch of white racists. But this time, it was a bunch of folks that were leading this protest, and it was led by the University of Chicago. They're Latino and Muslim students, and they started organizing on the internet, and they went and they took it down, and Trump got scared and didn't speak because of the protest.
I don't think Trump gets scared. Yeah, I think he just was like, oh, well, I can't talk, people are talking.
I don't think he does that either.
I'm
just gonna keep talking until I feel like my maybe Secret Service agents.
Yeah, you know, there's a good chance that he actually was talking the whole time, but everyone was loud enough that they didn't hear him.
Yeah,
and then he just walked off the stage.
Yeah, I love this story. I think it was so awesome that folks are protesting Trump, because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah,
we have another 7 months of this. It's got to happen.
The disruption is awesome. I was getting really sick of the Muslims going into Trump rallies and then being like, oh, this was my experience. And it's like, no, disrupt that shit.
Yeah.
Shut that down.
Shut it down. And then it got shut down in Missouri, too. 33 people were arrested, I think, which is so, so amazing. I went and went to Ferguson last year, so I hear a lot of those folks were there for that. So that was amazing.
So, Taz, it begs the question.
Yeah.
On the other side of the election.
Yeah.
Hillary versus Bernie. Where do you lie?
Do I have to choose?
You must choose. We're from California, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, we're in California. It doesn't matter. So the primary season in California, the voting happens in June. By the time it gets to California, usually the candidates are already chosen. So I feel really ambivalent on choosing a candidate because of that.
Yeah, but what's making you ambivalent? I'm curious.
I don't like these candidates, either of them.
You don't like Bernie or Hillary?
Mm-mm. I feel like, you know, when Obama was running, I was such a huge fan of his. I went to Vegas for him. I was really put off by how Hillary's campaign treated Obama's campaign, and they were really racist against his campaign. So I'm not like a huge fan of hers, but I'm not a huge fan of Sanders either. I feel like Sanders is, I mean, I just have no feelings on either of them. So if you want to like sway me one way or another, I'm open. Send us emails.
Oh, you were going to get so many emails.
Try to convince me. But for right now, I don't really have an opinion.
My husband has already sent her like 3-4 words.
Yeah.
Of like Bernie.
I haven't opened them yet.
Bernie propaganda.
But that's the thing. Like, there's just so much like propaganda out there. The way I chose my candidate in the 2008 cycle was I read both Obama, Hillary's, and actually Edwards' book. And that's how I made my decision. And I haven't really figured out how to choose this time around. Who are you voting for?
That's like the longest way to make a choice.
Yeah.
It's like, read the books. I just like, I wait for the BuzzFeed articles. And then go for it. No? Anybody else? No one's going to admit it. Fine. Okay, so I'll make an admission. In the original round, when it was Obama versus Hillary in the primaries, I voted for Hillary.
Yeah?
I did. And that was before Black
Lives... That's very brave of you to admit that.
It's kind of embarrassing now. But well, no, actually. I mean, I did because... I was hoping for the feminist revolution of 2026 where we kill all the men. And I'm still waiting for that to happen. It still could happen. Hillary, you don't have to be president to make it happen. Well, no, and that was also before Black Lives Matter and before my understanding of intersectionality and my understanding of how the Clinton administration really destroyed the situation for so many working women.
Yeah.
And I have a sort of rule of thumb for myself when it comes to feminism, because it does get so confusing. I know Roxane Gay talks about this like at length, and it's not my field, you know, academia. I like to make up facts and then make jokes about them. I should run for president. Thank you. So my rule of thumb for a feminist is, are they uplifting other women?
Yeah.
And the answer here for me was no.
Yeah. I think what I'm all very concerned about, though, when it comes to people who negate Hillary, is making sure that they're not negating it based on like an inherent anti-feminist way. So I want to like be able to like say no to Hillary based on not issues of her like being too outspoken, you know, things like that.
Yeah, you know, I also was on the fence when people were like, oh, Hillary flip-flops. And I was like, oh, it is such the state of a woman to have to be accommodating.
Yeah.
I understand that. And even when she was like, Iran would be my enemy in like the election debates, I still was like, I called my grandma and was like, Grandma, would you be okay if somebody was killing you, but it was a woman that did it? And my grandma in Iran was like, I get it. And the more she just campaigns and tries to take on that activist rhetoric, the worse it gets. And the more I research the Clinton administration and the government cuts, the more disillusioned I get. But it is like, there are a lot of my friends that, similar to you, like still can't make a choice. It's really hard to make a choice.
I just feel like I don't have to because I'm in California, so I'm going to vote for whoever's going against Trump at this point. I do want to say that in Michigan, we did have votes happening recently, and Sanders took the Muslim vote in Dearborn, which was really interesting. So Bernie Sanders defeated Clinton 59% to 39% in Dearborn. And I was reading this article that was talking about how this one district of like primarily Arab American Muslims, they got 67% of Sanders' vote. And it was the same district that in 2000, pre-9/11, got 72% of George Bush's vote, which was really interesting because I think that like one of the things that we heard about the Muslim community pre-9/11 was how they were all voting Republican. And this is such a stark difference that's happening there.
Yeah, a lot of Persians I know also vote Republican because business. It used to be that like Republicans, I know this was my impression. If you were Republican, it was because you wanted to hold on to your money. That used to be the reason. That was my impression. And then now it's just racism.
Yeah. Right. Like the primary issue.
I would like to be a racist out loud and to everybody.
Yeah.
So I'm a Republican. I mean, that's the situation. And that's where I also feel like Hillary is the Republican in Democrats' clothing.
Yeah, you were talking about this yesterday, too.
I know, but I feel extra weird talking about it because there's a big dead moose head on the wall. To your right, behind Taz. And I just feel like the NSA put that there.
Zara, you have a creeping Sharia?
Yeah, so Simon and Schuster put out a Muslim children's book imprint.
Oh my gosh, so we're creeping into Muslim youth.
Children's literature. Muslim board books. Sharia counting. Sharia
whatever.
Barnyard
Muslims invented,
animals.
Muslims invented algebra, so all the counting is Muslim creeping Sharia.
That's really true. That's really true. Algebra, that was his name.
Yeah. We're so smart. We just learned about that last night, you guys. So the other thing that was really interesting is Curious George has a Ramadan episode or Ramadan version coming up.
Really?
Yeah, so it's going to be...
Is he like curious about it? He's like, oh, it's
yeah,
Ramadan.
I'm pretty sure he's... That's kind of the theme of the Curious George series.
Listen, why haven't they just used that for everything? I'm curious about bisexuality. I'm curious.
Can you imagine if Curious George came out with it? That'd be awesome.
Like, it could just continue on
yeah,
to, like...
Yeah, yeah. First curious. It's Ramadan, then it's bisexuality, then it's cocaine, then it's...
I'm curious about drugs. I'm curious. I'm curious about periods. I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I would buy that entire series.
Aren't you on a panel to talk about like Muslims' children's book?
I am. Hopefully, it's still in the works. But Chronicle is putting together a children's book panel with Muslim children's book authors at the Bay Area Book Festival. I'll be on that panel with Henna Khan. She wrote Golden Lanterns, Silver Lanterns. I'm getting this title wrong. It's a gorgeous book. You should definitely get it. It's beautiful. And I'm really excited about all of the creeping Sharia children's literature.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
I'm working on a book myself, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah. Just putting that out there if anyone wants to put me on a list for wonderful Muslim authors getting out there with their work.
Zara, you're number one on my list already.
Thanks, Taz. Let's monetize that list, girl.
All right, awkward ask a Muslim. I have an awkward ask a Muslim.
Wait, so should we clarify what our awkward ask a Muslim is for our new listeners?
No, they can figure it out.
Oh, all right.
So my awkward ask a Muslim happened when I was speaking at this panel where I was talking about civic engagement. And so civic engagement incites a very particular kind of a community. It is the older white men community that like to come watch panels on voter engagement. And I'm a brown Muslim woman who's trying to, you know, get out the vote of the marginalized community. So afterwards, so in the course of that night, I got interrupted on stage. I got Kanye'd.
Oh.
I totally got Kanye'd on stage. I got a guy that came up to me and was like, Salaamu Alaikum. And then he got really, really close, like in my space, and I had to take two steps back. I was just like, gosh, no. And then the worst was like, I was talking to this this young Asian youth, and we were having a conversation about electoral politics. And then this white man comes up to us and goes like,
I'm Asian too. Let me insert myself into this conversation. He literally said that. He said, I can be Asian too. And he just started trying to talk to us. And I'm just like, you can't just interrupt like that. And then he tried to, took over the conversation, just like talked at us for like 15 minutes. And then I tried to leave the conversation. He's like, before you leave, take out your phone and put this in your phone. I was like, no, I don't want to. He's like, would you have done this if I had 10 million followers? And I was like, yes, I would have. And just that kind of like empowerment that he had over my space and how I choose to, like, he didn't even let me say no. And it was really frustrating because I was the one who like was invited to speak on this panel, yet in this audience, like, I still had to, you know, give up my space to men. So I was really upset by that.
So what are your strategies for dealing with these guys?
Yeah, so I was thinking about it. I got like all Muslim ragey on Twitter. So I like came up with a list of like 10 things on how to rebel with the subtle physical deconstruction of patriarchy.
Nice title.
Thanks. So the first one is walk straight and make the men walk around you. Bump into them if they don't move.
Boom.
Yeah. When in conversation and a man steps towards you, take 2 steps back. When shaking hands, turn your wrist so your hand is on top.
Ooh, clever.
If men try to stop you to talk to them, keep walking and make them keep up with you.
Oh, I've done that. Mm-hmm. I've done that. It was really fun.
Yeah.
I made this guy walk with me to class, supposedly, but I really just walked him up 4 flights of stairs. And then at the end of it, he was like, where is your class? And I was like, I just wanted to see how far you'd walk with me.
Number 5, if you are standing, do not point your toes or face your body towards the man unless you actually want to engage them in a conversation. Keep your body pivoted away. Mm. Don't say sorry ever for anything, especially if you are interrupting. Just interrupt without "I'm sorry, bud." Because like women have this tendency to say "I'm sorry." There's like all this research on it. Just don't say sorry. Don't apologize ever. Number 7, when men are over talking, just keep over talking them until they stop. And it's a game of chicken, right? So like you both keep talking until like, and then you don't even have to say anything that really means anything at that point. You're just talking to kind of show that like you're not going to stop because he's talking.
I've seen that in movies, and then they just have sex after. Right? They're just
I do not want to have sex with any of these men I'm trying this out on. Just putting that out there. If there's an number 8, if there's an awkward silence when talking to a man, just let it hang there for a long time. Don't be forced to fill up that space. Number 9, if a man looks at your chest, look him dead in the eye very quietly as he does it, as if, and if you're brave enough to do it, like look at his crotch and then look up at him. Just, you know, do it back.
But I think you have to like specifically look at his crotch like in a certain way.
Absolutely.
Like you can't,
can you do it? Can you do an example?
Like, okay, I can't be like, damn.
Right.
Like that is kind of going to create more conversation, I feel like. Versus if I look down, I'm like, oh no. I feel like that would help.
The pity look.
The pity face.
And finally, number 10, remember you as a woman can man spread your legs and elbows too. If you're on a plane or a bus, you know, and a man gets in your space, you can use your knees and your elbows as tools.
And I totally can right now because I'm wearing Spanx underneath my dress.
Yeah.
So I can be just like, What's up? No fear. Bam.
Zara is opening and closing her legs on stage right now. Your parents listen to this podcast, right?
My dad's going to give me so many notes.
So those are my 10 strategies. And for the record, that night when I was at that panel, I had to do 7 of these.
Oh my God.
And this is like habit for me. It's like you have to make these like how women take up space, taking my space back. Like this is something that I do constantly.
Well, and then if you don't do these things, you have like the I didn't take up space hangover, which you had at McDonald's.
Yeah. Yeah, I did. I never eat at McDonald's, but I went and got pancakes after this incident because I was so upset.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like either you do this list or you get pancakes afterward.
Yeah.
And Zara, self-soothe.
Zara, you had one that happened last night, actually.
Okay, so speaking of men taking space, last night we got out of the lift and we're walking to Fiesta Mart so I could shave my legs. the next morning because I'm wearing a dress. And this guy walked up and he said, Salam Alaikum to me.
Yeah, he like saw the driver and says, Salam to Zara as Zara's getting out of the truck. And Zara just like stares at him. I look at her, I was just like, why didn't you say Salam back? Like, you're supposed to say it back.
I mean, for one thing, I was just confused because I was like, wait, are you Muslim? Or are you just saying Salam to me because I look Muslim? But I thought I was passing.
And then he said it to you again when we got back into the lift.
Yeah, and I still was confused. And I didn't respond. And then I realized, like, ever since college, I just, like, it's in my muscle memory to not say salam back. Because in college, okay, so the rule with salam alaikum, somebody says it to you, another Muslim to Muslim, you're supposed to do, like, the Muslim nod. Salam alaikum back. Like, what's up? Muslim to Muslim, we're trying to take over. Yes. But in college, it was just a pickup line. Yeah. It was just an excuse to like, and then they were just staring at my tits.
I never got that as a pickup line, just for the record. Salam was never a pickup line used on me.
In the Quran, it does not say, say salam alaikum while you're staring at a woman's tits. Like, I feel like that negates it. But he wasn't doing that. I just was so used to it. I was trained not to respond anymore.
So next time someone who is Muslim says salam to you, are you going to say it back?
I'm going to say world domination.
So instead of walaikum salam, world domination.
What's up?
Awesome.
All right. Stepping out of the awkward space. Highlighting Muslims doing good things. We give out good Muslim awards. We tell you who the good ones are. Taz, your good Muslim award.
My good Muslim award is going to Saqib Javed, a Pakistani-American in Warren, Michigan, who, yo, he was so dope. He, like, walked into this Trump rally in this, like, black Sherwani and, like, these, like, big old shades, and his hair was, like, amazingly bouffant. And he, like, walks in, and he gets, like, driven out by ridiculous racist, and like as he's walking out, there's like video of him like flipping his hair like this, and it's so amazing. His hair flip was like resonated throughout the world. It's just like, man, if all Muslims could just hair flip and like fight back against Trump. It was almost like, you know how Trump has no hair or whatever that hair is. It's like, he's like, boom, my hair is so much better than yours, Trump. It was so good.
My hair flips
and yours just kind of sits there like a hamster.
That's the other place where I feel like it's not fair to Hillary. Like, Hillary can't be like, and this is not my real hair. Like, extensions.
Yeah.
Those are extensions. Come on. Nobody else has thought this?
No.
I look at it very closely. It's affected my self-esteem. I'm like, she has such lush hair. Is it because I'm not rich? What is it? It's extensions. She's okay. All right.
So one of the things that Saqib said when he was like walking out afterwards, he was in an interview, he was saying how he's like, I'll be back, Trump. And it was just like, it was so good. It was
yeah,
so
that was
good.
Badass.
Yeah. What we haven't mentioned yet is like, what's really surprising about all this stuff that's going on is that there's 7% of Muslim voters who are going to vote for Trump. I was just like, who are these people?
How do they do that calculation?
They did a survey. So CARE released this report. They did a survey of 2,000 Muslims, and they asked them all who they were voting for.
Was it via Curious George? I'm just curious. Who are you voting for?
It was over the phone.
And okay, so that's really surprising to me because I didn't know it was CARE.
Yeah.
Like, because I thought, like, oh, maybe it's a lie. Maybe it's a conspiracy.
No, yeah, the article I read showed their research method, and it looks legit. I would have backed it.
I like want to meet those people and understand, what are you doing?
I know, and there was that article that you actually shared about the Somalian. Was she Somalian? The Muslim
yeah, she
woman?
Was Somalian. I think it was a New York Times article. She was saying she was voting for Trump, but even then, like I felt like a lot of it was to do with the information that she was getting. She was also, it looked like her family was surrounded by people who were like Trump lovers, and so it made it scary for them to not publicly be Trump lovers. And I was curious about that, if there was like some kind of push there. But then like the fact that CARE is conducting this over the phone, and it's not like, that just boggles my mind. I don't understand it.
Yeah, it's
boggles my mind too. Like a lot. What's also interesting is like some of the people that are going to these Trump protests, like this guy, Saqib, was definitely in protest. But there are other folks that are going to Trump rallies who are just curious, and there are people of color. There's been at least two cases of people that were of people of color who like went into protest just because they were curious and they got driven out. So it's just really, really interesting to see that there's people who are still trying to be open to Trump and like show up to these rallies and they're being attacked.
That's just insane to me. I can't even understand it.
And speaking of Trump, your Good Muslim Award is going to Trump's daughter.
Yes, Trump has an illegitimate Muslim daughter named Aisha Ali Trump. She is awesome. She's put together this web series, Aisha Trump. You can check it out. It's a satire. It's fantastic. You should definitely support that. And
what do you like about it?
I think the concept is hysterical. And like she, of course, like she looks like Ivanka and like has the whole like Trump attitude, you know? So it's like she has all these Trump traits. He cannot deny that this is his daughter. And I just think that that's such a fantastic angle. I wish I'd thought of it.
Yeah.
And that's what I give Good Muslim Awards to.
Things ideas that you wish. So if that's who you're giving a Good Muslim Award to, do you have a fatwa this time that you want to give out?
Okay, I was kind of ambivalent about my fatwa, which is a weird thing to say. Because I still have all the same fatwas because they're not being answered.
Yeah, our fatwas just like carry over. Like,
they just carry over.
So now we have like 15 fatwas out there.
Fatwas against spiders, fatwas against people who spray on the toilet seat.
Oh, you should have fatwa the bug that was in our Airbnb.
I totally fatwa'd it, and then it looked like a scorpion, and then I got really scared. My fatwas don't work, man. I gotta up the ante. But you have an awesome fatwa.
I do have an awesome fatwa. I want a fatwa against staring.
But it's a specific kind of staring.
Yeah, yeah. It's the auntie stare down. I want a fatwa. So this goes back to the case. So there was Muslim women who were on JetBlue, and this flight attendant said that she didn't like the way she was being stared at by these two women, and they got kicked off the plane. They had to get on another one, and it was so ridiculous. Like, it's not even a case of like there's a can of soda with you on an airplane or like a shoe with you on an airplane. It's just the act of staring is terrorizing. And then I was just thinking about it, like I've had the auntie stare down so often in my life. They just look at, because I'm the girl that like shows up to all these like family events like not in sari or salwars, and I just show up in a t-shirt and the aunties just give you this look. They're just like and so like I just grew up with the auntie stare down, and I was just like, you know, fuck with that.
So you think that you think that the flight attendant like was getting the auntie stare down?
Totally.
And she was like actually terrified. And this is like pre-Taz fatwa. So she had no support.
Yeah.
So I want to see this in action. So
yeah. Because I think like your auntie stare down is different than my auntie stare down, right? Because like I feel like Persian auntie stare down is different than the Desi auntie stare down.
Yeah, I feel, well, the Persian auntie stare down is like, well, we say khale. And the Persian stare down is just kind of like, she looks like Audrey Hepburn and she's disappointed in me. It's like, cause you suck in, they suck in their cheeks, kind of like pucker up, raise an eyebrow and just look at you like, I don't like how much you weigh. I don't like how tall you are. I don't like your major. I don't like your boyfriend. I don't like anything about you. And I disapprove of all of it. And your Farsi has an accent. And it's just like sad making.
Yeah. I feel like the Desi auntie stare down is like when your arms are crossed and you just like hunch over and then you just like your chin has to go in and you just kind of like your head tilt and you're just like, you know, you like, did you gain some weight? Is what the look is saying. It's all about fat shaming with the Desi auntie.
Yeah, pretty much. We were going to do an auntie stare down challenge.
But it's kind of hard to do that on radio.
So can Amanda.
Amanda, come on
Can
up.
You narrate for us like pro wrestling style? Like, Taz Ahmed right now is staring down Zara Norbach. Her eyes are, eyebrows are lifted.
So you give us the go.
Okay. In this corner, we have Persian Auntie. Okay, so here we go. Persian Auntie v. Desi Auntie. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, but I'm...
You're just going to narrate. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's, okay.
Describe
ready?
What we're doing.
Ready? Yeah. Okay. You ready? Got your mouth guard in?
Mm-hmm.
Go. Oh. Persian Auntie looks pissed, and Desi Auntie looks like she has indigestion.
Which is basically how it goes.
It's
yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
how it goes.
and both ruined my self-esteem.
Thanks, Amanda. I think that basically closes out our show.
Yeah,
we close it
yeah.
out with auntie stare down.
Yeah.
Before we close it out, applause. So, Zara, what are you up to in this next month before our next podcast?
I'm doing stand-up March 26th at Grey Matter, hosted by Come Out Right Now producer Phil Circus in Oakland. And in April, I'll be in Sonoma. You can check my tour dates beyond that at ZaraComedy.com. And I've also started doing, for the entire month of March, since it's the Persian New Year, new beginnings, I have been putting out a one-minute video every day. And I post it to my Facebook and then my YouTube. You can go check them out. They're each 1 minute. And hope you like them.
Awesome. I have been doing a project also. I've been doing a project with an editor from the Aerogram, Rohan Guha. We're doing an audio epistolary exchange. So you can check that out. It's on SoundCloud. It's called Bolo Speak. You can check out my book, M Dash and Ellipses, on Amazon. I think I will be doing a show in May at the Pasadena Playhouse called South Asian and the American Dream. So I'll be doing it with an ensemble group of South Asian artists. I'll be in Colorado, I think, next month. And I'm in a book that's coming out next month, too. It's called Tia Chucha. It's a book called Coiled Serpent, and it's a poetry book. So we'll have links to everything that we're working on our website, which is goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. So be sure to check that out. And finally, where's Judith? Thank you, Judith.
Thank you,
Thanks
Judith.
For bringing us out. And thank you, South by Southwest and Austin and... So excited to be here.
Thanks for listening to the Good Muslim, Bad Muslim podcast, hosted by Taz Ahmed and Zara Norbash. You can follow Taz on Twitter at TazzyStar, that's TAZZYSTAR, and Zara at Zara Nu, that's ZAHRANOO. The show is produced and edited by Quincy Sarasmith, and you can find us on the web at goodmuslimbadmuslim.com. To follow the conversation, please use the hashtag GoodMuslimBadMuslim.
Zara will do anything for an applause.
Give it up for applauses.